gorgeous. I personally would not put this one in the show. The other things you've shown us.
Fashion is supposed to be all about the new, the next, the novel. But the high-end fashion world is amazingly old-fashioned, like some royal artifact from the 18th century.
There is something about fashion that can make people very nervous.
One in 10 American women, almost 13 million people, will get a September issue of Vogue.
The throne room of the global fashion court is Vogue magazine.
This is amazing.
Well, do mention it to Anna, because she's killed half of it.
And the annual encyclical is their massive September issue. It can make or break fashion trends and fashion careers. The filmmaker R.J. Cutler made a documentary about Vogue and the people who run it. It's called The September Issue. Cutler made his name producing The War Room about Bill Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign. That doc is why George Stephanopoulos and James Carville are household names. And the movie is one of the best documentaries about American politics. R.J. Cutler is here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So after these subjects of large, obvious consequence, presidential elections, race in America, how did you decide to make a movie about a fashion magazine?
Well, I would say large, obvious consequence, a $300 billion global industry, a woman at the helm who, as you point out, seems to be the descendant of the minister of fashion from the court of Louis XIV. I mean, and high stakes, a lot of talent, passion, and a world I knew nothing about.
Really? So you weren't a fashionista?
Not at all. Not at all. And it was exciting for that reason.
What got you to it if you were so oblivious?
I had heard of Anna Wintour. I knew, of course, about Devil Wears Prada. The movie was
out, and the character, the Meryl Streep character in that film, is a fictional version of Anna Wintour.
It is said, you know, one knows about her. She's there are all these kind of caricatures of her throughout the culture, and you hear about her. But there was a person in there, and I was curious about that person. And I went to New York and I met with her, and the very first meeting was that's when I really decided. That's when I realized there's a movie here. This is a subject who's going to capture my curiosity and imagination. And if we're going to do it, I'm going to need to have creative control and final cut. And she said, I'm a journalist. My father was a journalist. This isn't going to be an issue. And I thought right away, how fascinating that she would bring up her father. And we had just met and she was talking about her dad, and it was almost as if she was already giving me a kind of the first clue in making the film.
And you use him or old footage of him in the film.
Yes.
And did your notion of her change? Did you start with the sort of ice queen persona that is in the public prints and somewhere else?
You know, I really didn't. I really worked to come in principally with curiosity. There's a fascinating moment in fact, the very first meeting where Anna was sitting at the end of the table and Sally Singer, one of the great editors at Vogue, who we spent a lot of time filming with, was sitting next to her. And I had been told that sometimes Anna, in a meeting, there'd be somebody else in the meeting with some other work should Anna get bored with the meeting and want to move on, even though the meeting was still carrying on.
What a good idea.
Yes, exactly. And there was Sally with some working on some galleys from an upcoming issue. And Anna had in front of her my bio and the letter of introduction that I had originally written. And at a certain point, Anna slid my bio over to Sally. And I realized there was so much meaning in that. And that was my first sense of this very subtle but very clear set of communication codes that they have at Vogue.
Well, does that and there's so much shorthand and yes. and sidelong glance communication
yes.
that you depict. Did that make it difficult as a filmmaker? Because,
yes.
of course, in a movie you're supposed to do and show in big ways.
Yes, absolutely. It was perhaps the first challenge of making the film was figuring that out. I said to Anna once, communication around here is like the mist. You don't think it's raining and all of a sudden you're soaking wet. And in fact, that's what people would barely talk to each other in those first months that we were there, and another issue was suddenly published. We were like, when did that happen? When were the meetings? And there were no meetings. But there was a lot of communication. We just didn't yet know how to see it. And then it was a question of figuring out how to shoot it. And we would talk a lot about pointillism and the fact that if we could capture those little moments, those relative dots of communication.
Which might not be so meaningful as a dot.
Exactly. And we put them together, then we would be able, as you stepped back from it, you would see the beautiful landscape that is the way they do their work at Vogue.
So it's all pinks.
Mm-hmm. And Virginia, we really feel that this is the most important message to put in the September issue.
I thought it was pretty.
I feel it's quite one-dimensional. But also, the girls always look the same, Elisa. If you look at your pictures, the way they're dressed, it's always the same. And somehow the picture's always the same. Which, I mean, it's what you are, I know. And the girl always tends to have straight hair. If you look at it, it gets just like, it's always the same. So it would be great if we could break out. Thanks.
Ouch. That is a scene from the September issue, R.J. Cutler's new film about Vogue magazine. More than most documentaries, it sounds to me like a couple of actresses playing a scene. Do you know?
Well, this is the beauty of verite. You know, when people are really themselves, and you capture those moments, it sounds like great writing, because life captured is like great writing.
After months and months of shooting, were you seeking footage that sort of humanized her?
Well, we had footage that humanized her. There are moments. And Anne is human. She's, you know, to be a demanding boss, this $300 billion global industry.
And as one of her employees says, the Pope of her little universe.
Absolutely. That's, you know, that's human. That's one needs to be driven and driven more than most. So you start to ask, where does that drive come from? And again, that's where that clue from the very beginning when she mentioned her father paid off to me.
My older brother is in charge of finding lower income housing in London for people that need it. And my sister's very involved in supporting farmers' rights in Latin America. My younger brother is a political editor of The Guardian and very successful, very brilliant. And I think they're very amused by what I do. they're amused.
That's a scene from the September issue, Anna Wintour talking about, very movingly and sadly, it seemed to me, about the regard or lack of regard probably of her very serious brothers and sisters for the work she does.
Well, I was certainly struck by it, of course, when she said it. I mean, how human for someone like Anna Wintour, who is revered and respected, where by the it seems the entire world, to wonder if she has the respect of those whose respect she most wants. You know, it's just it's startling, but it's so recognizable. You know, those who have achieved such great things have these doubts.
Grace Coddington, who is the creative director at Vogue and one of Anna's number two, sort of steals the movie. She is terribly frank about her feelings, about her romantic ambitions, about her anger and disappointment at her boss.
Well, the sparks do fly when they get together. I mean, they have very different approaches, and in a way,
even though they're both British ladies of a certain age,
absolutely,
and care about fashion more than anybody cares about anything,
they are driving each other to greater heights.
These little evening things.
So let's remove the coat.
I have to have a little freedom to play around.
Grace, I mean, there's a lot of wearable things in this, and I want this to be more wearable than not.
I started working for American Vogue the same day as Anna did. I think we understand each other pretty much, just through, you know, living together for 20 years. She knows I'm stubborn. I know she's stubborn, and I know when to stop pushing her. She doesn't know when to stop pushing me.
Is it odd just having one fur? I mean, should we have one other thing that has a fur. I mean, I just think it's odd to have one. I mean, maybe you're going to do a fur hat or... Okay. Like,
when you were filming in 2007, right, was there any sense at all of what was going to happen in 2008, i.e. the meltdown, the crash?
No, they were in a boom. You know, the boom is always a boom, as you know. I mean,
until it isn't.
Until that day, and then it wasn't. But we were there through the boom. They set the record. This is the single largest issue of any magazine that's ever been published. My feeling about these films is that they always are a bit of a period piece. But what you really connect to in the movie, what you really relate to, is what the movie's about,
right,
which is a relationship between Anna Wintour, Grace Coddington, two women who have been working together for 20 years, these remarkable women who kind of rule the world together. Anna's, of course, the boss, but there's Grace right by her side. They don't really need to brawl as though it's a matter of life and death every day, and yet they do.
RJ Cutler, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
And what is this thing about we need a fur coat to match that one?
Or a fur hat?
Oh, please.
Grace Coddington left Vogue earlier this year, and you can see RJ Cutler's documentary, The September Issue, online.